The scripture reading this morning is from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. It's about taming the tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with great strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships, though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them. Yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it, we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening, both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You may notice that I am not wearing a robe today because it's frankly too warm. And so I've decided not to wear my robe. However, I do need my sermon, which is on a stand over there. I've got to go get it. Let's hope that the rest of the sermon goes better than that part did. Let us take just a moment of silence as we pray for each other. Pray for me that my words may touch the hearts of people. Let us pray. Amen. Some of you may remember the old story about a monastery that had a vow of silence as part of their rule. They were not to speak for an entire year, but at one particular time of year, one monk was selected to speak briefly. So in this one particular year, the name that was drawn for the monk who was going to be speaking was Brother Matthew. So Brother Matthew got up and he says, "The food here is terrible." And then he sits back down. That's all that's said for the entire year. Well, the next year, Brother John was designated the one who would be speaking on all of their behalf. And Brother John gets up and he says, "I don't agree. The food here is very good." And that's all he says. And he sits down. The following year, Brother Paul is selected to speak on their behalf. And Brother Paul gets up and he says, "If Brother John and Brother Matthew don't stop arguing, I'm going to leave." That's the end of the story. When you have a congregation, you can kind of gauge how your story's gone over by whether anybody laughs or not. But that's not the case now. Hopefully you enjoyed it. From the letter of James. "And the tongue is as fire. The tongue is unrighteous word, and it's an unrighteous word among our members, straining the whole body, setting on fire the cycle of nature, and not on fire, and also setting on fire as the fire of hell." For every kind of beast and bird and of reptile and sea creature can be tamed by humankind. But no human being can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. What on earth is he raving about, do you suppose? Does he think that all of us should live like the monks in that monastery, only keeping silence except for once a year? Well, like that story shows us, that won't help us much, because people will still find a way to quarrel. In fact, there is nothing that can keep us and our tongue controlled except we ourselves. Just what kind of burr, though, did this writer of this letter of James have under his saddle? Well, we all know what it is like to put our foot in our mouth. Sometimes I've amazed myself that I can walk at all. In fact, I do this with such frequency, and that is why all of my sermons are written out word for word, because if I just got up here and started to speak, I'm not 100% sure what would come out of my mouth. So I write it down. At least I'm sure of what I'm going to be saying. But I don't think that the writer of the letter of James has the occasional faux pas in mind when he goes on thundering about the evils of the tongue. Nor do I think he is advocating some sort of self-imposed silence. That sort of self-imposed silence is not endorsed in the scriptures. There's nothing that would suggest that. But he is talking about a serious problem that we have in our time and in our day and among the Christian community. Do you remember the old school rhyme we all grew up with, probably? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Of course we do. We remember that. But the power of words to hurt us is real. And in our time, different times in our life, we have said those words or words like them. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But usually we said those words, said that little rhyme, when words had hurt us terribly. They do hurt us. And someone has said something to do this to us. The tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison, says the writer of James. And we know that that is true because we have felt a person's words sting and hurt us. But the writer of the letter of James also knows that we ourselves can also be the person who brings destruction on another person by saying things that we should not. The world is full of people who no longer believe in God or believe in the church or anything that the church stands for because someone, somewhere, sometime has said something that hurt them deeply in a church. They may have been a little thin-skinned about it, but irregardless, we recognize the power of words to hurt us. So we want to recognize the power of words that we have over others. I doubt if there is a single one of us listening to me today who hasn't found themselves astonished that somehow something that we have said has caused such pain in somebody else. But these times do happen. When our words are calculated to offend. The fight with the spouse, where raw nerves are pinched because we know where those nerves are. The coworker who gets the benefit of a little extra dig into us because of something they said. The stranger on the freeway who cuts us off or tailgates us. And so they get the full measure of what we think of them, their driving, and their ancestry. They may not hear it, but they sure must know it. We know how to hurt with words. Hurt those we love. Hurt those we barely even know. We know how to do it. But the writer of James says, stop. Stop it. The writer of the letter of James is trying to instruct young Christians, young Christian communities, people all around in the world, how to be loving and kind. And one of the things that he tells them is, watch your tongue. Or as my grandmother used to say, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And isn't that the message that our world needs to hear, that our country needs to hear right now? Wouldn't it be wonderful if people would just be quiet if they couldn't say something nice? Can you imagine the silence? And this we can teach to the world, for we know the power of words to hurt and to heal. And we begin by refraining to use words to hurt. For as the writer of James says, from the same mouth come blessings and cursing. My brethren, this ought not to be so. My father had a rather dry sense of humor. And one of the stories that he liked was a story of a boy who was maybe, I don't know, 12 years old. But in all of his 12 years of living at home, he never said a single word. Never said a single word. Well, one day at dinner, the boy said, the milk is sour. And the parents were astonished. And they said to the boy, why have you finally said something now? And the boy said, well, everything was all right up to now. Well, that's probably carrying it maybe just a little bit too far, but this is our example. Be careful with our words. Use our criticism sparingly, and use our words primarily to express the love of God and the joy we have in life. The letter of James. Read it sometime. Amen.